We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
In our research, we found that 74% of the young parent cohort says that Halloween 2020 is more important than ever. This Halloween is more important than ever. And it's probably for a very similar reason. That connectivity, that cultural relevance, that moment of celebration in a really uncertain year has become so much more important this fall as we look ahead at the moments where we can actually see each other, even if it's at a distance, but find that sense of community and connection, sharing chocolate and candy, dressing up in costume for a little bit of escapism and fun amidst all this other uncertainty.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Despite the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, many consumers are finding joy in celebrating the holidays. In this episode, we're chatting about Halloween and how we'll be celebrating from a safe social distance. I'm handing over the microphone to my friend and my colleague and sometimes co-host, Chris Stewart. Take it away, Chris.
Thanks, Bill. Coronavirus might have halted many aspects of our lives this year, but consumers are still looking forward to some celebration. And what better time to celebrate than the kooky and spooky Halloween season? Although things will look a little different this year. Research from NRF shows more than 148 million U.S. adults plan to participate in Halloween-related activities like trick-or-treating and wearing costumes. Candy sales are up, and we're seeing consumers shopping early to prepare for the festivities. Today on the Retail Gets Real podcast, we're joined by two special guests, Kevin Johnson, chairman of the Halloween and Costume Association. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And Christopher Gindelsberger, senior vice president of public affairs and communications at the National Confectioners Association. Thanks, Chris, for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy Halloween. Great to be with our awesome retail partner.
So Chris and Kevin are here to discuss the many ways that consumers and retailers are preparing to celebrate Halloween safely and creatively, as well as how you can celebrate wherever you are. And we're joined today by my colleague, Catherine Cullen from NRF's research team. Hey, Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
So Halloween, everybody's excited. It's officially October. What's going to look like this year? How are consumers going to celebrate?
One of the things that's been really cool from our side at NCA is we've done six waves of consumer research to get over the last several weeks to get a really deep look at the mindset, attitudes, and behaviors of consumers as we're looking at Halloween this year. And what we found is that there's been a 17-point jump since back in July to just a few weeks ago, where people are saying, "Hey, we're going to get creative about the way that we celebrate Halloween this year. It's a full season. There's a lot of opportunity to engage in activities throughout the month of October. And we're going to be creative about it. And we're also going to be safe because of this, you know, sort of unusual moment that we're faced here in 2020.
At the Halloween and Costume Association, we've been brainstorming since about April on all the different ways that you can celebrate Halloween in a safe, responsible way. And we've come up with dozens of different ideas. And a lot of them have been, floating around the internet over the past month, but things like, you know, having a Halloween theme movie night or candy scavenger hunt or, you know, doing a Halloween themed dinner party with your family, decorating your house or decorating all the rooms in different themes, doing costume parades, trick-or-treat drive-by where friends drive by and pass out candy from their cars. Different kinds of Zoom parties where, complete with games and scary stories and a costume contest, driving around and giving goodie bags to all your friends, you know, online murder mystery parties, Halloween karaoke. The list is endless. We have a whole list of different ideas, different ways to celebrate Halloween on our website, Halloween2020.org.
It sounds like it's a whole month of activities exactly. right there.
I know. I feel like I need to take notes. These are some great ideas, Kevin. Thank you. I like the Halloween karaoke. That might make it onto my celebrations. One question I had is, you know, it was interesting, Chris, what you were talking about with the increase in people kind of viewing this as a months-long celebration. Do you think people, I mean, obviously they're in a different mindset because of the pandemic, but do you think people are, well, I guess, why do you think that is? Is it somehow related to people wanting to take a moment from all the stress and uncertainty and find some fun things to do right now? Or is there something else driving this kind of months-long celebration?
Yeah, well, look, this Halloween season is certainly going to call for us to be socially distanced, but that doesn't mean that we have to be socially awkward about it, right? And there's no doubt that Halloween this year, you know, it's going to be different than years past. And if there's anything that we've seen sort of over the last several months through in this, you know, very unusual COVID-19 environment, it's that people are resilient and we want this moment to celebrate. And you know, what's great about Halloween is it really lends itself to the CDC guidelines, to the public health experts' viewpoint and other thought leaders in the public health space to the viewpoint that, you know, be outside, it's a lower risk, wear a mask, wash your hands, and make sure that you're staying a decent distance away from others, and you'll be at a lower risk, right, of transmission. So what's beautiful about that is it really, Halloween really lends itself to that type of, to those parameters for staying safe this year. And I guess the final thought that I kind of had on that is, you know, it's really going to come down to hyper-local decision-making to determine whether or not the Halloween season means that you can go trick-or-treating in your neighborhood, in your cul-de-sac, down your street, or if maybe you need to kind of have more of those candy bowl moments at home, or maybe there's just more time in October that you dedicate towards, you know, to Kevin's point, that you dedicate towards celebrating the Halloween season with, you know, crafts or other creative approaches that involve a little bit of treating over the month of October.
I'm going to take that phrase candy bowl moment instead of stealing candy from my kids. I'm going to call it my candy bowl moment that I'm having.
It's so funny you said stealing from the kids, because we did, you know, we've done all this research and 79% of parents, they admit to stealing, that they steal from their kids' candy stash on Halloween. And I'm like, okay, 79%. I mean, it's probably closer to 100%, but 79% have admitted to it, right?
I was going to say, and 21% are lying. So.
Right, 21% are lying.
But yeah, no, I think I've definitely done that in the past. And my kids aren't even old enough to eat candy. So I just pretend they're getting candy and then take it. Speaking of some of the guidelines and the localization that will play a role this Halloween, I know you all have worked, you, Kevin, and Chris have worked on some great resources with your organizations about some of the safety guidelines. Do you mind talking about some of those and some of the tips you have and where consumers can go if they're looking for a safe way to celebrate Halloween?
Yeah, sure. What we've done is a great map was developed by the Harvard Health Institute, and it has all the counties in the country color-coded, green, yellow, orange, or red, depending on what stage of the pandemic that, you know, your county might be in. And depending on the color of your county, we list all the different ways that would be a safe way to celebrate Halloween in those areas. And those are all on that website that I mentioned before, you know, Halloween20.org. So that is a great resource for figuring out what to do in your area, depending on your current county situation.
Kevin, that resource is really awesome. And we're so grateful to be partners with you on that. So thank you for bringing us into the fold. You know, I think the power of the communication across organizations like NRF, HCA, and NCA, along with our member companies, you know, we're able to reach consumers in all corners of the country. And when we line up on things like Halloween2020.org or other resources, it really does have a strong impact. And so we're grateful for that partnership. So thank you again, Kevin. And, you know, from the NCA perspective, you know, we make the chocolate and candy, the treats that you know and love and have grown up with and have a nice nostalgic attachment to. And for some time, we've been building a resource called Always a Treat that we call, that is available at alwaysatreat.com. And it covers all what we call candy moments throughout the year. And this year, obviously, Halloween, Super Bowl, we play a central role in the moment of Halloween and the treating associated with that with our products. So we've carved out a part of alwaysatreat.com that we call Halloween Central. And we put this together with, you know, the expertise of public health departments and experts in public health, the CDC, we talked to about this, work very closely with them, as well as nutrition professionals and those that provide the nutrition guidance for people across the country. So what you'll find at alwaysatreat.com/Halloween is some of those that inspiration that Kevin was talking about earlier. You know, how do you celebrate Halloween at a fun distance? Have fun at a distance? How do you celebrate Halloween at home if that's right for you? And if you do go out trick-or-treating, there's some expert advice available there. Now, it's October 1st, and just one quick thing to kind of think about, you know, we are in the heat of the Halloween season, and what's been really cool the last couple of weeks is we've seen governors and mayors and editorial boards come out in a bold way to say that Halloween is happening this year. Mm-hmm. We just have to celebrate it a little bit differently. And so this morning I was reading the Chicago Tribune, and I came across a quote from Martha Stewart, who is now out in front saying, "Hey, look, it's 2020. We all need a little bit of reprieve from this this COVID-19 environment. Let's come up with these safe and creative ways to celebrate Halloween. And here are some ideas." And she's actually not the first, but definitely she's certainly the latest and a very big voice in the conversation around Halloween. You know, it was back in August that we worked with the New York Times on a great piece on Halloween, and Jamie Lee Curtis came out and said, you know, the scream queen of all time, right? And said that, you know, there's still, and back in August, she kind of predicted it. Hey, look, there is a growing wave here of people who want to celebrate Halloween. And she said, you know, it's so fun to dress up in costume and enjoy chocolate and candy. And there's a safe way to do it this year for sure.
Now, you mentioned the nostalgia factor. And I was wondering if any of y'all are seeing that nostalgia, that longing for comfort and for maybe, you know, a time before the coronavirus, you know, are you seeing that in terms of popular costumes? Are you seeing that in terms of candy choices this year? You know, or on the other hand, are we seeing, you know, costumes inspired by, you know, these real life heroes that we're seeing all the time? Are we seeing more people dressing up as doctors and you know, rescue first responders, things like that versus Spider-Man, things like that?
Yeah. You know, Halloween is a real time to escape into another world. You know, I know I've done it before. You put on a, you know, crazy costume, like an Evel Knievel, and suddenly you feel like you can jump on a motorcycle and, you know, jump a bunch of cars or something like that. You know, costumes really have that transformative power to make you believe that, you know, you're a different person. So we have seen, you know, doctor costumes are way up, including plague doctors from the Renaissance, which is a little scary.
I was wondering that.
but also comedy, you know, funny costume sales are way up. You know, costumes that bring joy and laughter are also very high on the list. So yeah, we have been seeing big surges in both of those areas.
Really interesting. You know, on the costume side, you know, one thing we have seen at NRF in our research on Halloween over the last few years has been the growing role of social and kind of sharing your great costume online. And obviously this year with everything being virtual, are there some new trends in terms of how people might share their costume digitally? Do you think that's going to play a bigger role this year in terms of how people celebrate?
Well, you know, TikTok is very lively already. So instead of just showing, you know, snapshots, which has been really traditional, you know, along social media channels, you know, mm-hmm. you know, people are tending to share videos of themselves wearing costumes and scripting it out a little bit more than so we're seeing that trend more of a from a snapshot to more live, you know, videos.
I had not thought about that. I am really behind the curve on TikTok, so I had not thought about the video aspect. But that's so true, and I think probably makes it a little more interactive this year for folks.
Definitely.
And I think that interactivity and just connectivity between people is something that we desire so much. You know, we talk about being zoomed out, or, you know, you've got Zoom fatigue. And I think I kind of take a different view on it. And it's that we're probably at this point because of our strong desire to be connected with people. If I can loop that back to Halloween briefly, in our research, we found that 74% of the young parent cohort says that Halloween 2020 is more important than ever. This Halloween is more important than ever. And it's probably for a very similar reason, that connectivity, that cultural relevance, that moment of celebration in a really uncertain year has become so much more important this fall. As we look ahead at the moments where we can actually see each other, even if it's at a distance, but find that sense of community and connection, sharing chocolate and candy, dressing up in costume for a little bit of escapism and fun amidst all this other uncertainty.
I think that's so true. That is something we have seen in all of our holiday research this year, and outside of Halloween, is just that consumers are embracing these events and reasons to celebrate. And I think paying attention to why people are celebrating, it's not just about buying stuff, to what you mentioned. It's about creating a moment and stepping outside of some of the stress people are feeling right now. So that is something we at NRF are loving talking about. And I think it's going to continue to drive people, not just during Halloween, but, you know, in other moments of celebration.
And it's that anticipation too, right? Where we're so excited about it. So, you know, in years past, you remember we would be bemoaning, right? Beginning of September, oh, school's just started. Why am I already seeing Halloween stuff in the stores? And this year, Halloween is coming. Yes, excellent. I'm already so excited. It's September 15th. And look at that awesome display of candy in the store. What can we do this year? Can we decorate? Of course we can decorate. What do you want to do?
It's so true. And, you know, it's... that optimism amongst consumers is just so strong.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, in our membership with the manufacturing companies, the companies that make chocolate and candy, they're also very optimistic. And it's great to have wonderful partners like your membership at NRF, where we're able to bring these moments to life for shoppers and for consumers as they go into the store. You know, it's our Super Bowl. Halloween is the Super Bowl. It's the World Cup. It's the Olympics. It's all of that rolled into one for the chocolate and candy industry. And it's an exciting time. Each year, it's about $4.6 billion in confectionery sales. You know, so that is a, you know, we're a $36 billion per year industry. So that's a significant piece of our business. And, you know, a lot of that business is done with you all at NRF. So we look at this as quite the moment to develop those times of enjoyment for the consumer base. And people are really taking advantage of it. I guess one other thing that I would offer up is that chocolate and candy sales are up 13% this season versus 2019, which is very encouraging. And again, I guess sort of just lends itself to that notion that there is just a wave of optimism and positivity and excitement for Halloween this year.
Are there in the candy sales you're tracking and your talks with your members, are there trends in the types of treats people are going for? I know we talked about some of the trends in costumes, but I heard from a confectionery company that, for example, during the pandemic, s'mores kits have been really big because people are doing backyard little campfires and things like that. Are you seeing any new trends in Halloween candy this year?
Oh, good. Yeah, good question. And I do love that there's like something about building that, mm-hmm. you know, whenever it comes to food that people just love, it's more certainly that treat lends itself to that notion. Well, the new trend is the old trend. How about that? The new trend is the is what we've seen for some time, and that is that chocolate is king. So preferences across the country, you break it down by region, you kind of look and cut the data all different ways, and chocolate still comes out on top. That's something that we've seen for a long time. There's a big debate going on in this country around what the right way to eat candy corn is. So there is a huge debate. So let's just unpack it right now. Candy corn, the most iconic confection, I would say, of the Halloween season, of course, made by companies like Jelly Belly out in California and Ferrara in Chicago. And other companies, but we surveyed what is the right way to eat candy corn and found that most people just pop the whole piece in their mouth. But 29% of people start with the narrow white end and 7% start from the wider yellow end.
If I have time for one more question, one of the things we've been hearing is, and I know you said chocolate is king, but in our data, we are also seeing that people are planning to spend more on candy this Halloween. Do you think they're just buying more of it, or are they buying slightly more expensive candy or nicer candy than they would have in the past? I mean, I think all candy's nice, so. But I know that there might be an element of splurging a little bit, and I wonder if you've seen.
I was wondering that more full size candy bars this year. That's what I'm.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that are important to note around that question. So first of all, the way that consumers look at chocolate and candy, they view it as a treat. And that is something that is a mindset that we like to reinforce, because even at moments like Halloween, where candy is everywhere and the central role of chocolate and candy is very apparent, people still enjoy chocolate and candy 2 to 3 times per week. And that averages about 40 calories per day. And I think that's important context as you look at this big, you know, like I said, Super Bowl moment for the confectionery industry. The sales of all Halloween seasonal products are up, you know, for chocolate and candy, up 13%. And it's over the latest 4 weeks and versus 2019. And so what is really driving that? I can tell you two things. One, chocolate is up 25%. So seasonal Halloween chocolate is the key driver in that growth. And then where people are buying are shopping more frequently is also driving it. So in the grocery channel in particular, there's tremendous growth. And I think that sort of speaks to our behaviors as consumers, right? Like, there are less trips to other retail outlets and more focus on the grocery channel right now. And of course, online sales are on fire as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the question. That was a good one.
Well, I'm really looking for justification to treat myself to some extra candy. But I will have to tell you, in my household, I have to hide it, because it's not a difference in how we eat candy corn, but I am a have a little now, spread it out throughout the week type of person. Mm-hmm. And my husband is a let's eat it all at once. And so I've learned if I buy something for myself, I have to hide it.
You're not alone. We've heard that from so many parents and just chocolate and candy lovers across the country, that everybody sort of has their own approach. And, you know, pantry stocking is a big behavior now. But just, you know, a little side note, we might in our household hide it just above the washer and dryer. So don't tell anybody.
I hope you're not putting your chocolate. I hope you're not putting your chocolate on top of your dryer. That could be disastrous.
Keep it cool.
Well, we are almost out of time, but before we go, we have a segment we call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Which is, we will just be asking you a couple of real quick questions, and we'd like you to answer with the first thing that pops into your head.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this.
It's going to be awesome. Okay, first one, Kevin, what was your favorite costume that you ever wore?
My favorite costume that I ever wore? Oh gosh. You're talking about hundreds of costumes over the years, because I don't only wear costumes for Halloween. I guess, you know, costumes that I crafted myself. You know, I was a Septicorn 1 year, a unicorn with 7 horns that I was all lit up. I had 6-inch platforms on. It was amazing.
Chris, I feel like you have to answer this question. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Oh my gosh. Reese's peanut butter cups, peanut butter M&Ms. I also like all of the Ferrero products, like Butterfinger. And I love candy corn. And I'm sorry, I just have to say it, but I really love Haribo gummy bears too.
You can edit that out later.
I think you're allowed to have more than one favorite candy for Halloween, given your role. So
those are my favorites, top all time. Yeah.
Kevin, what's the last book you read?
I just finished Lord of the Rings with my daughter last night.
Oh, nice.
It's always nice. Good to reread that book.
I'm going to stay on the Halloween trend. What's your favorite Halloween movie, Chris?
Oh, my gosh. Well, one time I became a Netflix user with a purpose and watched all of the Friday the 13th. So I just wanted to know sort of like what the, you know, what this iconic cinematic universe was all about. And so I went through all of them. That was a few years ago.
Good.
Nice. Kevin, what's your go-to Halloween karaoke song?
Well, I did discuss Monster Mash at the beginning of the... I feel like that is the iconic anthem of Halloween.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Catherine, last question.
This is not with Halloween, but what has been your go-to app during the pandemic?
Oh, the health app. Oh. Honestly, the health app. I know it's unusual. I mean, probably if I looked at my screen time, it would be like mail, messaging, WhatsApp. But I'm being very conscious, as I'm sure many other people are, about maintaining activity and balance, even during Halloween, where I'm, you know, obviously enjoying the great treats that our companies make. I just I've been very focused on keeping my steps up, moving around, and enjoying a balanced lifestyle.
That's great.
Okay, and before we go, where can listeners go to learn more about your organizations and initiatives?
So the best website for people to go is, you know, Halloween2020.org. And there they can print a downloadable certificate after they've read all the safe house protocols. They can print a certificate to put in their window to show other families that they've taken followed our guidelines to mark their house as a safe house for trick-or-treating.
Excellent. Chris?
You can take the guesswork out of Halloween by visiting alwaysatreat.com/Halloween Central.
Well, thank you, Chris and Kevin, and thank you, Catherine, for joining us today. And thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at nrf.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.